welcome to the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, master TTAP trainer, and mother of two. I'm joined by my co-host, Victoria Wilkes, a fellow intuitive eater, passionate TTAPper, and mother of two. Each week, we want to empower you with new information about the way our bodies and minds work together to bring us into balance when we are well-nourished and well-fed. Victoria and I are not only good friends, but we are also lucky enough to be sisters-in-law. So join us as we discuss topics such as body image, intuitive eating, women's health, pregnancy and postpartum nutrition, the science behind nutrition and exercise, and so much more. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, here with my sister-in-law, Victoria Wilkes. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Doing great. How about you?
Nice. I'm doing really well. We had a good day today. It didn't rain today. It's been the last few days, like, in the summertime, taking my kids outside is kind of a lifeline for most things. And, it's been raining a lot recently, thundering. But my son, he just turned a year old, and he, whenever he hears thunder, he'll turn to me and he'll go, oh, it's just so cute. So I almost don't mind it because I'm like, oh, but you're so cute. it's funny. So let's do our normal little segment where we talk about anything we've been eating that's been notable recently. So how about you?
That's something that I have all the time in my pantry, but I've just been enjoying it lately is, and I'm totally going to butcher the pronunciation. It's a Jewish pronunciation. Manischewitz, I think. It looks like Manischewitz, but it's Manischewitz. And it's like a grain-free, crispy matzo cracker.
Ooh.
And it is delicious. And they have them at our local Publix. But that's literally the only thing that my husband goes into Publix for, because he does some of the grocery shopping for me. And that's the only thing he goes into that store for. And so I found it actually another kind on Vitacost.
Oh, which is nice.
Which is a fantastic resource if you've never used Vitacost before.
Yeah, Vitacost is awesome.
It's like a health food store online, and so they have a lot of cool stuff. But they have their own version. Yehuda, maybe some type of brand, something with a Y.
Yeah.
And it's thin, like a grain free. It's like made with potato starch and tapioca starch and like water and egg yolks and dates and honey or something like that.
Sounds good.
Like the matzo crackers that I get, I will put. It's good with peanut butter. It's good with straight butter. It's good with nothing. It's good, like, whenever you don't feel well and you just want, like, a cracker to eat. It's really good, whenever you're motion sick or something and you're like, oh, I just want something plain.
Yes.
They're really good. One of my favorite ways to eat them is I use it almost like bread. I just do, like, open-faced sandwiches, like, with deli meat. And mayonnaise and all that stuff, and just put it on the cracker, and so it's just really yummy.
That sounds good.
Probably not paleo because it's got some preservatives, but I don't care because it tastes delicious.
That sounds. I know. I've had those before when I've come to your house, and they're like they're really good. They're so good.
Yeah. What about you?
Yes. So I. Well. Okay. Yeah. This is kind of random. It's not really anything special, but I've been and it's kind of niche. Olives. I recently, they're kind of a love hate for a lot of people, but I had some Kalamata olives in the refrigerator and I forgot I had them in there. And I was like, I forgot how much I like olives. I mean, do you ever have something where you're really into it for a while and then you just kind of forget and then you're like, oh yes, olives, they go on everything. So I've been eating them on salad. I've been eating them plain. And it's just, I'm trying to get my kids to eat them. Nobody else in this house will eat olives except me. So, which honestly is not a problem because then there's more for me. So, but still, I've just been, I don't know. I've been just,
I've been into olives recently, and they're a nice snack. They've got some nice fat in them, and they're salty. I've been into salty things too recently. Might be because I'm stressed, perhaps, and it's hot, and I'm sweating a lot. Anyway, so yeah, olives.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and Earth Fair are in our town opened up again. It's like Whole Foods for, I don't know, Whole Foods for mountain people who live 2 hours away from a Whole Foods. And yes, they used to have, I don't even know if they still have it, but they had an olive bar where you could go in. I actually haven't checked to see if they still had that. But you literally go in and it's like olives and the little pepperoncini things and like everything that's pickled or, you know, cured that you can imagine, they have it. So
yes, unfortunately it's closed down right now because
I was gonna ask, you've probably been there more than I have.
Well, I went there today and yeah, they have it closed down, but they have like pre-packaged like salami and like pepperoni, like different things that you would have with olives. So they have some pre-packaged stuff, but it's not the same as like that amazing olive bar they used to have.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure it's because of the virus. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, it is. They said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything's because of the virus. I mean, you know. Ah, okay. So, yes. So for today's episode, let's go ahead and get into that. We're going to discuss, you've probably heard us discuss intuitive eating on this podcast a gazillion times if you've been listening, but we wanted to devote an entire episode to talking about what is it? Like, what is intuitive eating and what's our take on it? And what's the, you know, there are principles, actually. We were saying the other day how it's ironic that there are rules for intuitive eating because being intuitive does not inherently have rules, but it is. There's principles that kind of help you understand, especially if you don't understand how to be intuitive, that can help guide you in figuring that out, what that looks like for you. Because obviously intuitive eating is very personal and it's very individual for each person. But we hope that today this will help you just understand what it is a little bit more. So, because we talk about it a lot. So, yeah, but it's...
What would you, if you could describe it like in a nutshell to somebody, what would you say it is?
I would say that it is eating freely without stress, in tune with your body's needs. It's basically it's a tailored eating plan that's tailored just to you. And it's perfect for your body. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. Because I was wondering today, I was kind of thinking, and Margaret and I are both birth geeks. We were pregnant at the same time last year. And we both were kind of learning about what it means to be autonomous in your birth and to, you know, to have your own choices and all that kind of thing. And it's hard when you're talking about intuition. Like people say, oh, own your birth, or, you know, mm-hmm. you'll just know what to do or something like that. For a long time, I was like, but how? I don't know. And then something kind of clicked for me when I was pregnant and I was like, oh, I got this. Like, I know what my body needs, what my baby needs. And if I don't, mm-hmm. I know where to turn for help.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff. And so I was thinking that it kind of applies to intuitive eating because it's hard to explain intuition to somebody. Like, intuition is like you know what to do, nobody else telling you. You know mm-hmm. what to do. Gut is saying to do something and you follow it. And in a lot of other cultures, a lot of traditional cultures or tribal cultures, intuition is just, it's honored. It's like the way, you know, mothers don't get what to expect in the first year to tell them how to raise their child. They either are passed down or they just go with their gut. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like my baby needs to sleep now. I feel like my baby needs to whatever. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is for intuition, because our culture is very, I don't know if y'all have noticed, it's a very ruled by the numbers. At least mm-hmm. this is what I guess, whether it's medical or whether it's nutritional or whether it's educational. You know, all children must read by age 5 or 6, or you know, everyone should eat 2,000 calories a day, or all labor must be before 24 hours, you know, and it's this very everything's run on averages and everything's run on statistics and everything's run on numbers. But intuition doesn't play by those rules. Intuition is you. Like, you feel like eating today. And similar to the birth thing, it's not just what do you want to do, but like, what do you know your body needs? Like, sometimes that means you eat what you don't necessarily feel like tasting, but you're like, you know, I need X because I know that otherwise I'm going to have a blood sugar crash or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but like intuition is not run by the numbers. It's not run by a program. It's not by somebody else telling you how to eat. Intuitive eating is you knowing what
you
need.
Exactly. Without the outside rules and regulations, and you can't eat past 6-7 p.m. and you cannot eat, you know, this food when combined with that food. Oh, I remember the one I used to do that. Like, did you know if you eat a melon, like if you eat watermelon with chicken, then like the chicken's not going to digest because obviously this person is trying to scare you into thinking that if you eat the wrong combination of food, you're going to die.
Right.
So yeah, I used to, it's basically, it's an inner thing that is instinctual, and it's not regulated by the rules, you know, of whatever diet person told you that you're not supposed to eat this food combined with this food and whatnot. So yeah, exactly. And I think that for me, I had to, you know, I had to unlearn a lot of my, you know, brains telling me the one thing. And you have to kind of, because sometimes those voices in your head of what you were told by this person or told by this health person comes up in your head, and you might think that it's you thinking it, but sometimes it's that influencing your brain that's influencing you and telling you, like, for example, I used to be terrified of eating after 7 p.m. because I thought I learned somewhere if you eat after 7 p.m., it's going to like ruin your sleep and your digestion, and you're going to gain fat and spontaneously combust or something like that. And I remember one night I was telling myself, well, I can't eat that. You know, I got to eat before 7. And then I sat there and I said, who told me that I can't eat before 7? Where did I get that? Right. And then I realized, after I thought about it for a second, I realized that I had read it somewhere and I wasn't even sure if it was an accurate statement. And now, you know, having looked into it later, it's not. Especially for women with hormonal issues or blood sugar problems, eating a snack before bed is very good, and you have permission to do that. So, you know, it's just unlearning that and kind of figuring it out in your own life and how it applies to you.
Yeah. Intuitive eating, it's kind of like, and sorry again with the pregnancy and nursing analogies.
Hey, it works. The analogies work. Yes.
It's kind of like, well, because mothering tends to require a lot of intuition, or else you're going to get frustrated trying to play by the rule book all the time, because your kids don't play by the rule book. But it's kind of like nursing is almost kind of like that, where it is instinctual. Like, you know, you have hunger signals, you have fullness signals. You know, nursing is instinctual. Okay, it's time to feed my baby, but like, how do I go about it? Because we've kind of lost a lot of that passed down knowledge of breastfeeding or whatever. So going to the intuitive eating side of it, yes, it sounds as simple as, well, you just eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're full. But what if your appetite is messed up because you've been restricting for forever? Or what if you're in recovery from an eating disorder and you've got bottomless pit hunger all the time and you're stuffed, but you're still hungry? And so it doesn't always lay out quite as nicely and black and white, but it takes a little while. Like you're saying, it could take a little while to figure out what is your voice telling you? Like, what do you actually want to eat? And what is the voice of fear or the voice of the doctor or the voice of your mother or the voice of Oprah or whatever? What is actually your body asking for?
Yeah.
It can take time.
Exactly. Instead of just, you know, actually relying on what all these external forces are. Because, I mean, again, people don't realize in general, just I would say in general, how really smart and really cool your body is. It's very, very intuitive. I mean, one time, this is just an example, a while back, I had a client who was pregnant, and I was helping her with her nutrition when she was pregnant, and she told me that, you know, she's trying to include more red meat because that's great when you're pregnant, for building up iron, bioavailable iron and protein and all that good stuff. So she was trying to add it in, but she didn't really have access to it that week. And she told me, she said, she said, it's very strange, but I'm really craving mustard. And I was like, how? Like straight out of the jar? And she said, no, I've been eating it on eggs. Like, I don't know why, but it just sounds really good to me. So I've been eating fried eggs with mustard. And I was like, okay, that's really strange. But, you know, and so, but I actually didn't say that's really strange. But in my mind, I thought that's really odd. So I did some research. And don't you know that mustard actually has iron in it? And it actually is more absorbed when it's in the presence of the zinc and the choline and all the other proteins that are in eggs.
Oh, that is so cool.
I'm not even kidding. And I told her, I was like, your body's really smart. You are on it. Keep eating those eggs with mustard on it. That's it. Yeah, but it was just, it was crazy. And I know that sounds weird, but that's just one example of many. I mean, I've had people that, you know, and kids especially, like we talked about on our episodes about kids and intuitive eating. They are so intuitive. You know, they will tend to gravitate towards water if they're thirsty or if they're needing some, you know, electrolytes or something. They might go for watermelon. Some days my kids eat a lot of watermelon, you know. I don't know. It's just, it's really cool. Your body's really smart and people don't give it credit because they think that it needs to be regulated and toned and trimmed and done this to it, done that to it. And it's really actually very smart.
And biohacked, like you're some computer or something.
I hate that word. And honestly, that word originated with a lot of the paleo-esque people.
Right.
Biohacking. but I thought it might be helpful. So there are the authors of the book that is called Intuitive Eating, like literally the book on intuitive eating, they have 10 different principles that can help you, that help encompass what intuitive eating actually is as a framework to work from. So I thought it might be cool if we went through those, just talked about each talking point, because there's 10 of them. So that might be helpful for folks to just, you know, get some more framework. Now that we've shared a little bit about that, I think it might be helpful just so people can realize what does this look like? Like how does this encompass also respecting your body's own, you know, set point and all that. So the first one is reject the diet mentality. Boy, we talk about that a lot. Basically, quit getting on the hamster wheel of all of those, you know, books like lose 10 pounds overnight and the magazine articles where like on page one, it's got, you know, here's how to lose weight really quick. And then on the next page, it's like, you're going to die if you don't include this nutrient in your body. And then the next page, it's like, here's a cake recipe. Like, that's just how, you know, the women's health magazines and stuff. They're just they're just trying to get at you. They're trying to sell you this quick fix type of deal. So, you know, and I think that it helps sometimes for me, at least, to realize that that's what's happening, like with the whole industry of dieting, you know, realize that that is what is in your brain when it's saying, you know, ooh, try that new, you know, why don't you try that new quick fix diet? Like it really works, you know, lose 10 pounds overnight and drink this, you know, Master Cleanse lemon water and you'll be all good to go. You can look like Beyonce. And I'm like, no, Beyonce has a whole lot of other things at her disposal that we don't. So, you know, it's just funny when celebrities, I could have an entire other thing about celebrities and their shenanigans with trying to get you to buy things based on them and what they look like. When we all know they have a personal chef and a trainer and probably all the time in the world to do whatever they want to do to make their body look however it wants to look.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, but yeah, and then let's see, the next one is honor your hunger. So we talk about that one a lot too. But basically, keeping your body set up with what it needs as far as the energy, not making a major cut to, you know, like, I'm going to cut out this food group because this cool person said that it's a great idea, you know. So it really can. And if we do not honor that and we try to suppress it, what your body will do is turn up the screws. Like, it will turn up. Let's turn up the screws. I don't know why I say screws, but, you know, turn up the volume. I was picturing a screwdriver. I don't know why.
Right.
Turn up the volume to make it even more of a need. Because your hunger is kind of a, I don't really like the word primal, but it is kind of in such that we've had this for as long as humans have been around, this desire to eat. So when you, it makes sense that if you suppress it and you drown it out and push it down, it's going to come back, and it's probably going to come back even more strong. So
yeah, there'll be repercussions. Like just if you're hungry. Yeah. I like the word honor. Like, just your body is telling you that for a reason. So go eat something. Like, even if you feel like, well, it's too late at night, or, oh, I've already had enough, or I've finished my plate. Like, if you're just, if you're hungry most of the time, you can trust that hunger and just go eat something else, you know, like,
yes,
I like that.
For sure. Yeah, I do too. I like it. Instead of obey, it's like honor, like, you know, don't just say, oh my gosh, you know, I can't have that. And it is, it's your first biological signal is hunger. You know, like, think about all the little babies who, you know, they really are very noisy when they get hungry. Like, they feel that desire, and a lot of us tend to tamp it down. So, and number three of the 10 is make peace with food. It's basically what we talked about before. You give yourself permission to eat. You don't have to restrict or telling yourself that you can or can't have something. That actually, there is research that shows that when you try to demonize things, it causes you to want them even more. Think about it in life. If if someone tells you you can't look in that drawer, or you can't go over to, you know, this person, get in this person's car, touch this person's thing, their car or whatever, it makes you want to do it. Like, it just does.
Yeah.
It really does. That's just how it works. It's one of the things where that's just how it works. So anytime that you try to, you know, stuff that and just not obeying, like we said before, and this goes into the honor your hunger one too, but you actually can eat and you have permission to, because it's literally what fuels your body. That's the only way for your body to get the nutrition and the fuel that it needs is for you to eat. So you have to be able to be okay with it, you know,
and it takes a while, and just be okay, like, determined to be at peace with it. Cause you're not going to be able to clearly understand your body's hunger and fullness if you're so muddled, like I said, with fear around food or rules around food or, you know, what you were told as a kid about food, whatever. Like, yeah, make peace with food is a big part of being able to just really discern what your body needs that day, what your body's asking for.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing that. And oftentimes, if we tend to really restrict things, usually it comes out later in a binge. We will, you know, that's kind of, honestly, if I was working with someone, and of course I'm not a psychologist, but I would notice this, if I'm working with someone and they say, well, I'm really good about using words like good. I'm really good until, you know, the weekend, and then I just can't handle anymore, and they just eat everything in sight. And honestly, that's not good for your body either, because your body's just going through these extremes. And as we know from the research, yo-yo dieting is actually really not good for your health. Forcing your weight to go up, go down, go up, go down, go up, go down. That's just not, your body doesn't like that. It's not, it does not like that. It is putting it in a stressful situation. It's kind of toying with your own physiology, which is not a good idea. So, and then number four is challenging the food police. So again, this kind of goes back to what we were saying about the voices in your head of the person or the trainer or the nutrition person saying, you cannot have X, you know, because you can't eat after 7 p.m. or you're gonna, you know, gain weight or whatever, crazy things like that.
Right.
And yeah, and it basically can come out in subtle ways. You might be doing things that you didn't realize were connected to that voice in your head. So realizing that and just, you know, telling you you're good for eating less calories, and you're bad for eating more, or you're eating that cupcake and, oh my gosh, you're so lazy and whatever. And honestly, like, I'm going to put this in here. I think there's a spiritual component here as well, because, I think as Christians, for me, I know that Satan loves to get you where you're down. He likes to find the spot. So he's like, well, I might not be able to tell Margaret that she looks ugly, or get that in her brain that she looks horrible in this outfit, but I'm going to make her feel guilty for eating this or whatever, or eating more than she usually does. I can get in there and I can get her off of her game and get her off of her goal by getting her to focus on this, you know, getting the focus off of the main thing and putting it on other things. So personally for me, that was a big part of my story, was there was a lot of a spiritual component there, because it was like, oh, we can really get her down and we're going to keep her down for a long time because we know this is her weak spot. So be aware. That's your weak spot. Be aware. And it's helpful sometimes to know that. So, and then let's see, number five. So we're going down the list, is discover the satisfaction factor, which I really like this one, because a lot of people think, oh, okay, well, you know, I just have to eat it, you know, whatever's there, slash I can't actually enjoy my food. I'm not allowed to enjoy my food. You are actually, you are actually allowed to enjoy it. And that's, it's the cool thing about food is that, you know, there's such a variety and there's just so many different flavors. And I mean, think about, you know, those people on the Food Network shows that they're just geek out about food all the time. Like, it's because people build their entire career on like being a, like, for example, one of those people that does wine tastings, or the people who like the chocolatiers. And it's like, there's just so much variety and it's really cool. It's just an area. Right. And I think that a lot of times if you're stuck in that diet mindset, you get kind of reductionist about things. I know I was. I would classify things like, that's a carb, that's a fat, that's a protein. I shouldn't have too much of this one because it will negate that one. And I can't eat this one or that one, you know, that kind of thing. And it's not like, it's not all that. There actually is a factor of enjoyment to it because it's food and God made a gazillion different kinds of food and we get to enjoy it. So.
Yeah. And I will put in a note too, that you can swing on the other extreme with, if you are really determining to be anti-diet and you're determining to be intuitive, you could think, because there's a difference between being obsessive about food and like kind of getting rid of that obsession. Say for a lot of people, you know, say for me, is like birthday cake.
Yeah.
Like, oh, birthday cake. Oh, obsess, obsess, obsess. Whenever you're restricting, then whenever you're trying to be more intuitive, it's tempting to think, well, I can't ever think that birthday cake is special anymore, because then that's obsessive. It's like, no, there still can be like where you really crave a certain food at a certain time, or something feels Christmassy and you really want Christmas cookies. Like, that doesn't mean that you're still in the restrictive dieting mentality. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but it's for me, I noticed that whenever I was leaving the restrictive mentality going toward intuitive eating, I kind of felt like I needed to not care about any food, because I had cared so much and it was ruling my life. I swung into, well, I don't ever need to care about food anymore. But there is, like you said, like that art form to it. And there's people who just thrive on like the flavors and everything. And so I think there's a really good balance, because when you're obsessive, you're not really enjoying it. Whenever you're restricting, you're not really enjoying it. Whenever you're treating it utilitarian, you're not really enjoying it. Like, that is why God made it so awesome, is like for the enjoyment. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's really kind of, you know, fascinating, that aspect of it. So yeah, that's really good. I'm glad you said that. And let's see. What was the next one? Yes. So six is feel your fullness. So, and this is one, honestly, I find people get hung up on. Am I full? Am I not full? Did I overeat? Did I not eat enough? You know, the whole, basically it's saying that you need to trust that you will be able to interpret those signals of fullness, but also not to overthink yourself if you aren't sure, if that makes sense. Because honestly, I've heard people get, you know, well, I don't diet. All I do is eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm full. And then you kind of press them a little bit and they're like, I ate past fullness. Oh my gosh. Oh no, I'm stuffing myself. And then they get kind of hung up on the fullness aspect. Right. I don't know if that makes sense, but they kind of get a little bit hung up on that. But just notice, like, you will, it's, again, it's intuitive. You will know, just like when you know that your child, you know, is in the room, other room, doing something that they shouldn't do. Yeah. And you come in there and sure enough, they are pulling every piece of paper out of the printer. Just like you have that little feeling of knowing, you'll know when you're full and you don't really have to really overthink it a whole lot. Right. You can Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but one thing that I've done, because you can overthink it, because whenever you're in the restrictive mentality, if sometimes it feels scary to be full, you think, well, I've stuffed myself, or, oh, I'm a glutton or whatever. Whenever maybe you're just actually full, you're comfortably full. And there's nothing wrong with being full. And so, yeah, it can take a while. Strangely enough, it can take a while. Like, it's easy to feel when you're hungry, but mm-hmm. it's a little bit harder to be like, well, am I full or am I stuffed? Like, yes. am I full or did I overeat? And I think you'd have to push quite far beyond full to get to gluttony. Like, yes. I don't think it's a difference of one or two mouthfuls. Like you eat and you're like, well, am I full or am I not? Should I have one more, like, you know, one more tiny scoop of mashed potatoes? Cause I think I might still be full. I don't know. I might be hungry. Like, just eat the little bit of mashed potatoes. Like, you're not going to what horrible thing is going to happen if you go ahead and eat another bite or two? Like, that's my go-to, is if I'm ever not sure, if I'm still wondering about it, I eat another little bit.
Yeah.
Because yes. it's like, I want to just be like, I don't want to be wondering about it. I don't want to be thinking
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. Make it definite. Be like, okay, yes, I'm full, you know, because it took me a while. And for me, when I was recovering, I was so hungry. I would eat and eat and eat and eat and just feel like not full yet. And I just ate, and you know, and it all evened out eventually. But yeah, I, you know, you can have, depending on where you are in your recovery, you can be more hungry or you can be just kind of, you know, less hungry and less noticing and less, you know. So anyway, but that goes more into hunger. We're more talking about fullness though. But and then number 7 is cope with your emotions with kindness. So this is basically to realize that when you're restricting your food, it can have an effect that's both physical and mental, and it can actually make you feel like you're not in control. And honestly, that was one of the biggest things for me personally, was that when I kind of, you know, took my hands off the reins, the loss of control was a little bit terrifying, because mm-hmm. I had been controlling. Like, that's how I coped. That's how I coped with a lot of the unknowns in my life, was controlling the one thing that I thought I could control, which was my weight. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing. And, you know, yeah, basically knowing that the food's not necessarily going to fix those feelings. And this kind of goes more, a little bit more with the emotional eating topic, but the food is not necessarily going to fix something. So, you know, if you're really tending to be more emotional about food, because there's a balance. Food is not just fuel, and it's not just something fun that you can put in your mouth or, you know, something like that. It's actually a in-between thing. And that's right. What makes it difficult, because it's a gray area.
Right.
So, and you know, it might comfort, it might, you know, be a distraction or numb you. And that's where you get into more of the emotional type of stuff. But it's basically, you know, you're going to have to deal with your emotions and the loss of control. Cause sometimes a loss of control can make people eat more. And sometimes feeling loss of control in your life can make you eat less. It just depends right. on how you interpret it. So basically, be kind about your emotions, because obviously we have a gazillion different emotions during the day. And sometimes this gets bad for me around, like, you know, if I'm hormonal, depending on where I am in my cycle, I will get, I actually, this is more feelings related, but I tend to get more angry. I think I've told you this before. I don't get really sad. I just get angry. I just get like, I want to punch a wall. And, you know, so knowing, you know, sometimes I will find myself and I'm eating something and I'm like, why am I really hungry? I don't know, but I don't judge it. I don't go, oh my gosh, I just ate something emotionally. Right. You know, 'cause honestly, right. I don't typically use food as a comfort thing. Not always. Mm-hmm. There is a factor there in almost everything you eat. Of course, you're like, right. I want the ranch dressing instead of the Italian dressing, 'cause I want something creamy. But you know right. what I'm saying? It's not a, I don't use that. I used to, but I don't really use it as a fully emotional experience. And, you know, dealing with those root emotions often can be helpful. So,
right. Because it's not a bad thing to experience emotions while you're eating and like for comfort, whatever. Yeah. Like dealing with the root emotions. I like that because then it'll kind of clear the air around the food, where the food's not really the issue, the emotion is, and you can work through it and be kind to yourself and not freak out because, oh, what if I just emotionally ate or whatever.
Yes. And sometimes when you're restricting the food, when you do eat, it can feel like it's an emotional eating situation for some reason, for some people. And you know, just parse that out. It might not necessarily be. And also emotional eating, personally, in my opinion, is not the end of the world. Now, if you're using it every night to numb out and that's how you're handling life, obviously you need to get to the root of what those feelings are, you know, with anxiety. Is it anxiety? Do you have some issues around, you know, whatever in your life? I mean, honestly, these days, goodness, there's so much going on that we can have that causes us to be stressed out and using food as a coping thing. But, you know, like I think I've said before, it's ironic that some of these people that are like, oh, comfort food, like don't do comfort food because we shouldn't be comforting ourselves with food. And then they're like, here's a paleo recipe. It's much better for you. I hope you enjoy. And I'm like, wait, what? Hold on. Like you're saying that it's okay as long as it fits your specifications for healthy.
Right.
Like, as long, it's just, I can't even with those people. Yeah. It just, I'm like the irony, you know, don't comfort yourself with food, but please eat this. Cause it's like, it's so good comfort food. Cause it, and it's like really healthy for you too.
Right.
Like, okay. That doesn't make sense, but whatever. Right. So, okay. And number 8. Out of 10 is respect your body. And we talk about this a lot. So basically, everybody's body is different. Some of us are bigger. Some of us are smaller. Some of us have more muscles. Some of us don't. Some of us have, like, we're well endowed. Some of us aren't. Some of us have, like, more curves. Others of us don't. And, you know, as soon as we're able to just settle in and be like, this is me, that's an unintentional greatest showman reference. I just realized, as soon as we really do say, this is me, and I am thankful and happy for my body, even though it might not look like this person that I really think is pretty or that person, you know, for a long time, I had a really hard time just with how my body looked. And it was in the teenage years where I was like, well, I'm supposed to like have an hourglass figure, but I really don't because I literally am straight up and down. And, you know, but then I'd like to go back to that little 15, 16 year old self and go, well, just have a couple babies and then you will have some hips. Don't worry about it. Which is kind of funny, but you know, like, but ironically, it's like, I don't even think about that anymore, but I did it at one time, you know? So definitely just, you know, we need to do an episode that's like body image boot camp. That's like a pump up psych up session for people that are like struggling with that. Cause we all do it at some point, you know, or during the week or, you know, you see a picture of yourself and you're like, oh, okay. So,
and respecting your body is a great way too, because like, I don't care what your body looks like. It's doing so many cool things.
Yes.
At any given moment, even if you're on your deathbed, like even if your body's not functioning great, it's still doing some amazing things. Like, it just the way your body heals itself whenever you get a scrape, or the way that its bones grow, you know, grow back whenever you break your bones, or the way that your body, I mean, if you want to study how amazing the body is, like study how it copes with you restricting. all the things it has to do to cope with not, it has all these amazing protective mechanisms for in case there's a famine.
And
there's a famine in your land and you're starving. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to cut this out and we're going to ramp this up and we're going to do this and that. And hey, we can survive on less food. Like your body. And then whenever you recover and they've got that whole, I mean, your body's doing amazing things. Even if you've put it through the ringer with yo-yo dieting or ED or whatever. Or even if you're just a regular person, you've never done any of that and you're like recovering postpartum or something and you don't look the way that you think you should, you can still respect how many amazing things your body has done and is doing just on a daily basis. and just yes. be thankful for it and thankful that your lungs are breathing. The other day I was having a hard body image time. And I'm going to have to track, this is completely random, but I'm thinking about tracking my hard body image days throughout the month, because I feel like an amazing superstar some men like really struggle some weeks, and I'm yes. starting to notice a pattern with my hormones. And so maybe I could be forewarned, forearmed against body image yes. issues and certain times of the month.
Yeah.
So I'll look into that, but
yeah, you should. And that reminds yeah. me that we should do an episode. I've been looking into this. That's about syncing what you're doing as far as exercise and, you know, mindset and projects with what your cycle's doing, how your hormones fluctuate. And that goes along with that too, because it goes along with, you know, for me, I usually the week before is just, I'm kind of a basket case and everything's like bad, in my mind sometimes. So, I mean, I actually don't have a lot of physical symptoms. Like I really don't have any other physical symptoms, except I get angry and everything kind of has a like glass half full view to
right.
glass half empty, not glass half full. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but whenever I was thinking the other day, I was having a hard time and I just remembered, I was like, my lungs are breathing in and out this whole time. I'm over here like mentally complaining about my body. My lungs are breathing in and out and my heart is like pumping my blood. Like how cool is that? And just remembering yes. that, how amazing God made our bodies, like really brought me back on track of like, wow, I'm being what I call my daughter whenever she's being grouchy, a whiny butt. I'm being a whiny butt about the way that my body looks whenever it is doing so many amazing things. And just to change perspective on that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And the next one is number 9, which is it's movement, feel the difference. So basically it's saying, instead of being militant about your exercise, really have a view of it as doing it to enjoy your body moving and mm-hmm. how it feels to burn your yeah. muscles. I almost said calories as I was looking at this list. No, that's not what it's about. But yeah, it's basically changing. And this is something that happened with me, is I changed the focus of my exercise from being purely aesthetics, right. and how I look, to how I feel doing it and how I feel after it and how it makes me feel strong. Oh, like, yeah. That was a big change. I like to feel capable to be able to do things and not be, feel weak. I like feeling right. strong to be able to do what I need to do. I like to, yeah. So. Right.
And it might take a little while. Like my only relationship with the only reason I would ever exercise before past 3 years was to try to maintain my weight. And so I had no concept of like exercise feeling good, but now I do. And it's like every other day I do like a 15-minute TTAP workout with your, I'll link to it in the show notes. It's Margaret's short workouts. They're under 15 minutes a piece and they're fantastic. And I just feel so good after that. It's like, I'm not doing it to change my body. I'm doing it because it feels so good. And it might feel impossible to get to that point, but you can get to the point where you do it because it feels good. And yes. find whatever exercise feels good to you, yoga or running or cycling or whatever you like. Don't just hate.
Do what you like for exercise. And that's part of, the beauty of it, is that you get to do what you like to do. You don't have to necessarily listen to, you know, if you don't run, then you're not exercise. You know, it's not exercise. If you don't get right. your heart rate up enough, then you're not really exercising. Like, no, that's a rule too. Again, right. it's the same thing. They've co-opted fitness as well. Don't even get me started right. on all of the fitness, the ways that they co-opt fitness to the same diety culture thing. It's right. just bad. It just, they go hand in hand, honestly. So
yeah, do something you enjoy for movement and what makes you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one is honor your health, gentle nutrition, which honestly, gentle nutrition. I love that. I wish that was my business name. Maybe I need to add it somewhere in there, because I love that, because yes, obviously I've studied this. I know, you know, that there's a lot of cool stuff that food can do for you, a lot of different things that it can, like, you know, help. And basically, and I'm just going to read exactly what they say on here, because this is really succinct. Make food choices that honor your health and taste buds while making you feel good. I don't know anyone who would disagree with that. Can you think of anybody that would disagree with that? No. Remember that you don't have to eat perfectly to be healthy. You will not suddenly get a nutrient deficiency or become unhealthy from one snack, one meal, or one day of eating. And this is from the intuitiveeating.org website. It's what you eat consistently over time that matters. Progress, not perfection, is what counts. That is so good. I love that. I just, I remember I used to actually think that, you know, that one snack or that one meal, I was just done for. You know, I was going to get diabetes from that ice cream that I let myself eat, you know, or whatever. So,
or that one bite, you know, oh my gosh, I ate one bite past fullness.
Oh, yes. I'm looking back and I'm like, oh my word. I want to come back to my, you know, younger self and be like, girl, stop it. Stop. You know, just, it's not worth your time. It's not worth your time to just stress out about that. So, yeah. And I think that, again, like with most things, there's, you know, people can get all into, if you're a rules oriented person like me, then you're gonna, you know, sometimes we can take intuitive eating and make it into like also a diet, you know, like you've got to check the box and do this and do that. Did I eat the food that I want at exactly the right time? No, we don't always have time. We can't always do that, but when we can, it's nice. So, you know,
It's nothing to feel guilty over not doing it perfectly. Like today, I was so stressed over just various little things. And I was trying, I was like, okay, I know that it's not good to eat while you're stressed, but I really need to eat. And so I sat down and had food, and I like looked at the food and I was like, this is so not enough for lunch, but all I have time to make. And I didn't eat until I was like comfortably full. I ate until I just was like, okay, that was what was on my plate. That's what I'm getting. I tried a deep breathe, but it's like, just, it wasn't really working. It wasn't like the best way to eat.
Yeah.
And I knew it, and it's fine. It's not like I should feel guilty because, oh, I didn't eat the full amount that I should have. I didn't eat until I was absolutely full, or I wasn't relaxed and enjoying my food. Like, just intuitive eating. Yeah. Don't turn the principles are just to kind of help you get a feel for what you're looking for with intuition. But intuition means like your gut, no pun intended, but like your gut feeling, like what you should be eating, or like what's available, or what you have money for, or what you have time for. Don't get stressed about trying to do intuitive eating perfectly, because it's easy to turn it into another wellness.
Yes. Another diety thing, like obsessing over eating at the perfect levels of hunger and fullness and at the perfect levels of, you know, every satisfaction. And it's really, that turns it into another diet, because it's trying to break you away from that. Like this whole thing, this whole structure is trying to help encourage you to move away from being so dogmatic about things. Right. So, yeah, because it's easy to be that way, you know? Well, do you have any other final words on this?
Nope. Just practice intuitive eating. That's all that you can really do.
Yes. Yeah. Just practice. And it's something you'll get to do multiple times a day, because we eat multiple times a day. And that's something interesting. I'll say this real quick. That is just interesting, is that, you know, with most, and this is for people who feel like maybe they're addicted to food, or they just feel like that they feel out of control around food. So for most things, let's say alcohol or drugs or exercise, things that we can actually be addicted to, sometimes for those things, you can cut it out. Like, you don't physically need to survive by drinking alcohol.
Right.
You can cut it out cold turkey and it's gone. But for those of us who struggle with food, or have struggled, you face that 3 times a day and whenever you eat a snack.
Right.
So it's rare. So you can either look at it as, well, gee, this sucks that it's just so, I have to deal with this you know, all these times of the day. Or you can look at it as, I get the opportunity now to face this and deal with this and you know, win my battle against not being obsessed with all this. I get to face it three times a day or more. And, you know, it's an opportunity to help yourself get better at it. So that's something that really helped me, because I realized, you know, I couldn't just swear off food.
Right.
Unless you want to be, you know, I actually read this interesting thing the other day that there was these nuns in, I forget which, you know, early times. But they were actually, they lived off air. They told everyone that they lived off air. They were really anorexic. They were actually one of the first documented anorexics, because they said that it was more holy to just live off of air. So they live off air, and they literally lived for a while. I mean, they, you know, for, and I'm sure they still would have had to eat something, because they lived for like several years after they declared themselves that they were eating air. Anyway, all I'm saying is, you can't just swear off food and be like, I'm not going to ever eat again. Nope. Going to cut it out because it's too much. You have to face it, and you will, you know, multiple times a day. So kudos to you guys doing the work on that, because it's hard. You know, I know, especially when you're learning all this. So,
and to take it as a good, as a positive thing, getting the opportunity to practice learning your intuition instead of thinking of it as a negative thing.
Exactly. You get the opportunity instead of, oh man, doing this today again. So yeah, right. For sure. Yep. So anyway, all right. Well, I think that will be it for now. So thanks again for listening, y'all. And of course, we'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
For more great content, check us out on Instagram. We're at instagram.com/dietdetox. We'll see you next time.